Week 3 is in the books, and your Nittany Lions improved to 3-0, scoring 60-plus points. Fantastic week for the good guys. Pat and I will recap the entire Kent State game, give out our weekly awards, and even preview the upcoming Illinois game this Friday night. So buckle up, strap in, and let's hit it. What a fun game. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of No Names, All Game. Today is Wednesday, September 19th. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my co-host, Pat, as always. It is 11:13 p.m. on a Wednesday. Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I want to potentially apologize in advance to any viewers. There is some vigorous lovemaking happening in my apartment right now. Hope the noise doesn't seep in, but that I can't guarantee it.
Yeah, man, that's the beauty of having some roommates in L.A., a couple of young, good-looking dudes, and about to have some lady friends over. So hope you don't hear it, but if you do, just be safe,
kids.
Be safe. Yeah, so we are recording this on a Wednesday. Busy weekend for me. Had my older brother in town visiting from Alaska. Shout out to Bob. That was awesome. Don't get to see him a whole lot. And then was out of town for a couple of days. So we're only getting to this Wednesday. Feels like the game was forever ago.
It
was an early game Saturday morning, but like I had to go through my notes this morning and kind of remember part of what happened. So yeah, got a lot to talk about, a lot to break down. How's your week been before we get to it? How you doing?
Good. I've been busy.
Yeah.
I'll say it was maybe my favorite thing about the game, other than our great win, was I got to watch the whole thing in bed. And let me tell you, that was nice.
Yeah. West Coast, man. Those noon games hit us at 9 a.m. Yeah, I watched the first half in bed, and I actually didn't see the second half because we headed out to Universal for Harry Potter World. Fantastic day.
I was there later that day.
Yeah? Damn, we got across
that. For Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was packed for that.
Those of you who don't know, that is my place of work.
There you go. But yeah, great weekend, great game. So I think we jump into
it. I fell asleep during the second half.
So. Okay, cool. So we'll both be going on somewhat of a fuzzy memory / highlights.
Yes.
So. Listen, if you want experts, go to another podcast. We're going to give you a little bit intermediary. So, yeah, if you're new to listening to us, and even if you're not, we're still figuring this out. What we're going to do is we're going to give out our weekly award. We give out a lion and a lamb. It's our most valuable and least valuable player. We'll go through the good, the bad, the ugly. Going to be tough to find bad and ugly of this game. You got 63 points, but we'll do our best.
There's a couple of things.
We'll have a couple of miscellaneous notes of the game. We'll do our Big Ten awards. We give out a Big Ten baller and a Big Ten bozo of the week. And then we'll end it with a kind of quick Illinois preview. So let's jump into it, man. Who's your lion of this week? A lot of options to choose from.
I got to go with DeAndre Tompkins. Dude had a receiving touchdown and averaged over 20 yards a return on punt returns. That's an insane number. Like, I get this is Kent State, but that is a crazy number.
Yeah.
And that's not even bolstered by like a touchdown.
Yeah, it was just consistent.
He averaged essentially 21 yards a return, and his long was 32. I mean, almost every single one of those was going for, 20 yards.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Huge, huge, huge factor in the return game. And we've talked about DeAndre's struggles to start the first two games, didn't have a single reception, and to come back with 4 for 100 yards and a touchdown, and I think it was the first touchdown of the game, so
yeah.
It was nice to see him start it off right, and yeah, he was one I had listed down. I had a feeling you were going to take him, so I got some other options, but yeah, I think he's just such an asset to that return game too, and I mean, field position is everything, right?
Yeah,
it's great to put up 63 points, but so much of that is predicated on where you start with the ball, so great choice. Now I got to go down my list a little bit. I will say this, I think we might have to take like a stipulation that we just can't pick Trace as our lion because the guy's going to be an option every fucking game.
Yeah, of course he is. He's picked sorely.
I'm going to save him. Okay. We'll talk about him in the good maybe. I'm going to go with a collective here for my lion is the defensive end group. So
yes.
7 total sacks in the day. 5 of them came from our defensive ends.
That was
2 for Sharif Miller. 2 for Jason Owe, true freshman playing his first game, and 1 for my boy Iter Gross Matos. So we've talked a lot about how it's so important to get a pass rush. It's so important for those guys to be quick off the end, especially with some of our I don't want to say depth issues at defensive tackle, but we're a little bit shorter there as we are on the outside. So to see three guys get in the backfield and just really disrupt, it was so awesome. If you guys saw on Twitter, we are actually we're going to be contributing to Coach Sean Spencer. He's doing a sack hunger challenge. For every sack that the team has this year, they're going to donate a turkey at Thanksgiving. It's incredible. I saw it on Twitter and I just tweeted out right away. I was like, hey, like, Coach, this is awesome. We want to contribute. So we're going to contribute $5 per sack so that they can get some sides for those turkeys. Coach DM'd me right away, which I thought was so fucking cool. Like, I mean, these guys don't need to respond to everyone or anyone, right?
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, he hit me up. He was like, hey, thanks so much. Like, we'll get in touch at the end of the season and figure out how we can donate. So really excited about that. And again, from the performance of a game, you need your defensive ends to be those stalwarts. And they got it done.
A little note from the sacks for the turkeys thing. All you guys know, listen out there, Penn Staters, there's a reason that everyone who went to our school is so obsessed with it still loves it so much. Still goes out to Penn State bars to watch games and like will listen to this podcast because it's just an incredible place. It's not just about the football. It's about things like this that we've got coaches who are, you know, donating to charity, coaches who are like responding to people on Twitter so that they can donate to charity.
Yeah.
I mean, Penn State's just an amazing place. Never ceases to amaze me.
Could not agree more. So big shout out to Coach Chaos, Sean Spencer, and the defensive ends. They are my Lions of the week. All right, into the next step, your lamb of the week. So lamb is least valuable, someone who might have had a bad game. This is a tough one. Again, when it's 63-10, there aren't going to be many options. I see you looking at me, and I know exactly who you're going to pick, so I'm glad I picked a couple. But we're going to do this every week because we want to make sure we're pointing out and holding ourselves accountable. So hit me with it. Who's your guy?
Seems to be the resident no-names all-game lamb in Juwan Johnson. Zero receptions.
Ugh.
0 yards, had a touchdown called back, give him that.
Yep.
But then he had an extremely easy touchdown. He just wasn't looking at the ball. And there, you can't give me he got a touchdown called back as an excuse for this game because he didn't have a single other reception.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, he's the one player I had listed to. I knew you were going to take him, and it is what it is. But I don't know. For me, it's like this is game three, and he's been a lamb for us on every single episode.
Week.
I can't mentally get there anymore. I don't even want to think about it. Like, what we've talked about is, hey, if he's supposed to be our number one, he's got to be producing. Fact of the matter is he isn't. And we're still scoring 50 plus points. So, yes, it's important. And yes, when we get to Ohio State and Michigan and, you know, the big time games, we need him. But I don't know. For me, it's like, it's almost out of sight, out of mind. Like, I want him to succeed. I want him to do great. But if he's not going to do it, these other guys are going to step up. And Franklin talked about this in his, I think it was his post-game presser or maybe his midweek. They asked him about the drops. And, you know, his quote was, you know, we're going to keep loving those kids. We're going to keep coaching those kids. We believe in them. And I mean, he doesn't seem concerned. And
it's not just the drops with Juwan, though. He seems to just not be there.
The awareness. Yeah.
The awareness. But he's not even getting targeted that often. Like, it seems like he's just not trying that hard.
Yeah, and that's a tough part of us just being, you know, the somewhat casual fan is like, you don't know if it's an effort thing. You don't know. No. And I, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we have any way of knowing that, right? The guys inside the locker room know what's going on.
Yeah, I for sure don't have the definitive stance on whether Juwan Johnson is loafing out there.
Yep. But yeah, he said, we're going to keep believing in those kids. We're going to keep loving them. We've shown we can be great. We need to be consistent. So I think, you know, going into this game, that was our Instagram post. I found a picture of DeAndre and Juwan saying, like, hey, expect big games from both these guys. And DeAndre lived up to it. And Juwan, I don't know what's happening, but I don't know. I'm going to try to, at this point, keep my focus on the guys that are getting it done, the guys that are killing it. And when Juwan gets to his form, it's going to be a nice fucking surprise, right? Because, like, hey, we've looked at some of Trace's numbers, and we'll get there in a minute. Like, yeah, he's doing well, but his stats aren't popping off the charts. And
no, they are not as incredible.
Right, not as prolific as you'd expect. We're not getting 350 every game, 4 passing touchdowns. And I think if you take the success that you're getting right now from DeAndre, from KJ Hamler, from even Brandon Polk had a touchdown, you know, past a couple of games, if Juwan returns to form or even 80% of what we expect, that's fantastic. And that just adds another weapon and another element. So yes, he's a lamb again this week, but I don't know. I can't put that much mental capacity into it yet. So
I
hope he gets there. All right. Mine is going to be another position group because like I said, I was looking through like player by player. There's not a lot like other than Juwan that really had bad games. Ricky Slade had, he had a touchdown, but he had five carries, I think, for 1 yard. So didn't do a whole lot. But mine is going to be the onside kick return team. It's not even the onside kick. It's just the kickoff return team. Second game in a row, we got an onside kick drilled against us, and they just weren't ready for it. And I get, and this is me reaching, like this is, you know, I had to pick a lamb for the week, right? You shouldn't be ready for it in the middle of a game, right? But at the same time, like, is this going to be a problem? Or are teams seeing this as like, hey, we can expose them, and they're, if they give us this look, we're gonna squib it and take over. We talked about how big field position is on returns. We can't be giving up onside kicks.
I'll get to this a little more later, and something else I'm going to talk about. But one thing I'll say in the kick return team's defense is that Kent State actually made a great play there. We really didn't misplay that kick. They just made a play. They got lucky and they made a play. And I'll get to it more a little bit later.
All right, I'll leave that one for you. Like I said, I'm reaching. I really don't have a problem with it, but it's one bad thing in this game that I think just needs a little bit of attention. So that is your weekly Lion and Lamb of the Week. Let's move into our good, bad, ugly. There's a ton to talk about in good. So hit me off with your first one, and I'm sure we'll kind of have a couple to talk about here.
Let's see. No stagnant offense.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll
jump into that with Trace, because that, like I said, he was my potential Lion, but I just feel like that's unfair. So I'm going to put him in the good category. Five total touchdowns, three of them rushing, two passing. Numbers-wise, like we said, only 11 of 22. He only completed 11 passes?
Yeah.
That seems so low. 229 yards, one interception, but that one was off of Miles' hands.
That was not his fault.
And what I will say is, did you see his response to that interception?
No.
Ball goes off of Miles' hands. Trace runs the guy down.
Oh, he got the tackle, yeah.
Beautiful tackle, and they end up only getting three on that drive.
That's true.
I mean, he tackled him inside the red zone, I'm pretty sure.
Yes,
defense came out, held him to three, so big play effort there. And then we talk about this one a lot, is this stat that you're going to hear every game that he throws a passing touchdown, 31st game in a row with a passing touchdown. And I looked it up, so he's not gonna get the all-time streak. I looked it up. Somebody has like 40-something or other. So even if he does it every game this year, he'll still be short. But what I think is super, super impressive is I looked back. This 31 streak goes back to like his first real action when he came in at the Tax Slayer Bowl after Hackenberg got hurt.
Yeah,
he had that beautiful pass over the middle to Deshaun. I think he had two that game.
Yeah, he did.
So there were a couple games prior in that season that he had like, you know, a play here and there, like when Hackenberg would get hurt.
Yeah.
That was his first real, like, hey, you're the quarterback. He's throwing a fucking touchdown pass in every game since then.
Here's what I'd actually be curious to know, and I wouldn't expect you to get this up.
I hope so.
How many games in a row he has had both a passing and running touchdown?
I don't know if there's in a row, but I do know there's a stat on that. And I'm going to save that one because I need time to do research. Yeah. But we're going to get to a section in a little bit here about just overall milestones, because we have a lot of them this game. So Chris Peterson, who is she's the assistant athletics director of strategic communications. If you don't follow her on Twitter, after every game, she posts a lot of that like cool, just fun fact stuff. And I think she had it. So we will pull that up later. But yeah, Trace was great offense. I'll say this. I agree. No stagnant. It was still a bit of a slow start for me. So my best bet of the week was that they were going to cover 22 points in the first half. Didn't get it. Unfortunately, I think we went in up 18 or so. So it's not stagnant by any mean. Yeah, I think first half we were up because they had 7 points at that point. So we were up 24-7 maybe? 28-10. Shit. I knew my game. I had it right, 18 points.
Yeah.
But the Juwan touchdown getting pulled back hurt us there.
Yeah.
There were a couple of
28 points in the first half.
Like I said, not stagnant by any mean. And then to finish with 63 is fantastic.
Yeah, we are strong in the second half though.
Yeah, and that's – again, not worrisome, but I don't want to see that trend of we need that wake up call to like get it going in the second half.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trace was great. Offense was great. I want to look back because it was funny. The DeAndre touchdown, the Brandon Polk touchdown, and the one that KJ should have had in the very first quarter that was called back. They all three almost looked like the exact same route. It was like up the right side of the field and then kind of coming over in the middle. And Trace placed every single one of those balls just fucking perfectly. DeAndre had to stretch a little bit for his. I think KJ even motor dove, but like puts it where the defender's not going to get it. It's just, it's really impressive. His stats aren't there, but it's really impressive.
He rarely throws interceptions that aren't tips. And when he does, it's often like an end of the game. He's kind of trying to force it then.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other things that I have noted for good defense in general. We've let up 10 points now, so you take away that miserable fourth quarter in App State. Strong performances, seven total sacks. Like I said earlier, only the one touchdown, and the touchdown. I was looking to go back and watch the whole game. If anyone has like a good way to do that, please let me know. I couldn't find this one on YouTube, but if I remember correctly, the touchdown actually came on a penalty. So I think it was Rob Windsor, defensive tackle, jumped off sides.
I was going to talk about that in the bad.
Okay, we're going to save it. We're going to save it for the bad. Jumping ahead. Only other thing I have for the good is the return game, and you kind of touched on it already.
One thing I have for the good.
Yeah, go for it.
Is the future. Sean Clifford.
Best now, quarterback in the country? Question mark?
Four passes with two touchdowns and, what, like almost 200 yards?
151 yards, 4 for 4, two touchdowns. His passer rating, do you want to guess what it is?
500.
582. Yeah. Do we have a quarterback controversy? Maybe. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, it just makes me, because I think I brought up in an earlier podcast kind of how nervous I was for the post-Tommy Stevens era, because we only get one season out of him.
Yep.
Wow, does this make you feel good?
Yeah, and like I said, Sean Clifford is a guy, he fairly highly recruited. He was a four-star kid out of somewhere in Ohio, I think Cincinnati. Went to the Elite 11. Like, he was up there. He wasn't, you know, the number one, number two guy, but he was in that top 10. And that's kind of how quarterbacks go out of high school. Is those, like, outside of, like, the one or two, the kid at Clemson right now, Lawrence, the Dwayne Haskins, or the Tate Martell, out of those top couple kids, everyone else, it's like you kind of have to wait and see. Right? From like number 3 to 15 in the quarterback rankings.
It seems like it's rare that it's like a heavy passing guy is the top quarterback. It's always a runner.
Yeah.
Except for like Sam Darnold.
Right. I mean, Justin Fields, the kid that we had, and he flipped to Georgia, same thing. He's dual threat. So, yeah, Sean Clifford is exciting, man. And I'll save this. Actually, no, I'm not even going to save it.
He probably saw Sean Clifford. He's like, man, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be getting any playing time.
Yeah, I was going to save this to the injury section, but I'm just going to go for it. Tommy Stevens should be back this week is what we're hearing. Franklin said all three quarterbacks will be available. And he actually said in his midweek press conference, if we really needed him, Tommy could have played last week. We didn't.
That's
what
we figured.
So what I'm interested to see is we come into Illinois. If we're up big, how do they split the reps? Like, do they use Tommy and the Lion and let Sean get the backup QB reps?
They'll probably do a little bit of both is what I guess. But I think they definitely want to get Tommy some actual QB reps.
Yeah.
Especially going into – I mean, we get the bye week first, but going into Ohio State, a game where, you know, he's probably going to throw a pass or two.
Yeah.
Just to, like, mix the playbook up. You want him to get some in-game quarterback.
Reps. Absolutely. Do we have a bye week? I thought we'd go to Ohio State right after.
No, I think there's a week in between.
No. Ohio State's night. Our bye week is October 6th because that's – shout out to my friend Lee is getting married that week, and it's purposely on a bye week. So today's the 19th. Friday night is the 21st, and then we get Ohio State on the 29th.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we get a bye week after, so. but, yeah, I agree. I think Tommy –
Illinois is a bye week.
They really – I mean, Friday night, get over yourselves. I think Tommy needs to get some actual QB reps, and I hope he does because, again, as much – as exciting as it is to see him in the Lion, he's a quarterback, and he can run a very efficient offense. So, I agree. Awesome to see the future of – Sean Clifford, and not only Sean Clifford, there were, I think, 11 true freshmen that played in this game now. So
a lot
of guys that have not seen playing time yet. And I'm going to jump into that too. I keep saying I'm going to save things for later. Why am I going to save them? So a couple guys that have played that have not before. Daniel George had that 95-yard touchdown from Clifford. We saw Zach Kuntz, the other tight end by Freiermuth. He had a couple of nice grabs, one that got called back from a penalty, but played well. Jason Owe on the line played for the first time. And somebody asked Franklin about like how they're going to manage that, the whole red shirt rule. And he said, you know, it wasn't meant for this particular game, but the game flow dictated that, hey, we could get a lot of these guys in there. And they asked particularly about
it was.
He said, with the score, this was a good time to get those guys. Yeah, of course. But he mentioned how like Nick Tarburton is linebacker / D end kind of guy. They used him in the first two games as D end, so they sat him and brought in Jason Owe. They're gonna let Jason Owe play the next one. So they're kind of giving each of those guys two. See what happens, and then you can either save them for later games when you need depth, or you can pick one and greenlight them and see how it goes. So I really like this new rule. I think it's awesome to see a lot of these young guys getting I don't want to say meaningful reps, but for them, it's meaningful. You know? You saw Daniel George, how excited he was after that 95-yard touchdown. I mean, you can't simulate that in practice. So I thought that was really cool. The other one I had for good was the return game. We've already touched on it. Only thing to add there was what I thought was cool was Franklin said with guys like DeAndre and KJ back there, when you have a guy like that, makes the other 10 play better. They know if they hold their block for just a second longer, this guy can take it to the house. And I thought I never thought about that personally, but it's cool when you have a dynamic returner, how much that does for that whole unit. So a lot of good coming out of this game. I mean, we could talk about it for hours. Oh, yeah. So let's move on to the bad. What do you got for bad?
Only thing I have for bad is that the one touchdown that Kent State scored is that they gifted it by Robert Windsor in the defensive line.
Yeah, it was good awareness on their QB, knowing it was a free play, kind of just chucked it up there.
It was a good throw, actually. It was good coverage.
It was.
Who was it? Owarian?
Yep.
Almost made a play on that. He kind of mistimed his jump. What is the other bad thing about that play is he was in good coverage, good position to make a play, and he kind of fucked up.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to allude to before, so I'm happy you cut me off because I had the same thing written down as good coverage, but I almost wonder if he saw it was kind of the free play and it was just trying to be the hero and like, I'm going to go up and snag this no matter what.
It was funny listening to the color commentator, who I'm also going to get to. It was terrible. made a comment about what a great job the receiver did high pointing that ball. He didn't even jump.
No. Really high pointed that one.
He just stood there.
Oh my God. I didn't catch that.
Amani just kind of, and it's really unfortunate because he actually had really good coverage, forced him to the sideline, played the ball, wasn't playing the receiver. Just kind of fucked up there.
Yeah.
And it's two bad fuck ups on one play.
Yeah. And it almost looked like on the replay, he kind of, you know, arms fully outstretched over his head and like his body was extended. You almost thought he kind of came down with it in real time. I was like, oh shit.
He just really mistimed that jump.
Yeah. And I mean, he's got,
he tripped.
Maybe. I mean,
kind of tried to jump out of his trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Possibly. Cause he has an interception in the first two games, right? The game winner at App State.
He obviously knows how to play. He knows how to high point the ball.
Right.
He knows how to play the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of tripped there.
Yeah, it's possible. And that's what I was saying. Like maybe he was just kind of,
because it didn't
look
that much like a leap.
Yeah, you know, he was almost falling backwards.
He didn't get that much air.
Yeah, fair. I like how we're rationalizing this. This is good. But yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking is like, all right, he's got an interception each of the first two games. This is like his thing. Was he just trying to make the big play?
Maybe.
And maybe he should. Maybe he shouldn't have went for the home run. Maybe he should have just tried to knock it down.
So the interception wouldn't have counted anyway.
Right. But, you know, it nullifies the touchdown. So if you knock it down, at least it prevents it.
So
you live to fight another day.
Deflection.
Yeah. You know what I mean. You know what I mean, damn it. But yeah, that's, I mean.
And even if they hadn't made that play, the other thing that Robert Windsor did was just give him a first down on a fourth down.
Right, which is still very bad, right? But I'd rather have that than a touchdown. So
really unacceptable.
Here nor there, but that's the only touchdown of the game. And, you know, like I said, the Kent State quarterback saw the opportunity and capitalized on it. Bad, I have two quick ones. Do you have any other bads? I don't want to steal yours.
No, that's it.
If either of these are your ugly, let me know. One of them kind of goes into what you just said, is the penalties and the mental mistakes. So we had 9 total for 85 yards, but 3 touchdowns called back from penalties. I don't honestly remember which 3 they were. Obviously the Juwan Johnson one was one. I don't remember the other two, but Franklin talked about that. I mean, that's 21 points off the board. I'm sure we scored anyway.
Yeah.
But still, that's, you know, if you score on those, that just,
and against a team like Kent State, we'll still score on that drive. How likely are we to score on that drive against Ohio State?
Right, exactly. You just can't have that. I love how we keep talking about Ohio State. I was thinking about this too. It's like Franklin preaches, this week is the Super Bowl. We're focusing on this week. I think we've mentioned Ohio State on every episode.
Yeah, well, we're not on the team.
Yeah, but listen, we might be. We're supporters, right? So that was one, and then
I don't think Trace is listening to No Names all game. Like, hey,
he might.
You're right, guys. Fuck this team. Ohio State in 2 weeks.
Hey, you know what? He might be. Listen, all right? We're getting there. We're not quite there yet. And man, the shout out to the people that actually like do this full time and create the content and get the videos and the podcast. Man, if that's your full time job, then I don't give you kudos because that's what you're supposed to do. But the people that do it like part time, man, it's Wednesday night and we're doing this because our lives are a little busy. But yeah, man, like you see some of the players retweeting those accounts of the Barstool, Penn State, the Onward State. So we're gonna get to a point where Trace is gonna listen to us and he's gonna be like, "Yo, Pat and Chris, they know what they're talking about." All right, the other bad that I have, and let me know if this is your ugly, ball security.
No, it's not.
Okay, cool. The one interception, it's again, it went off of Miles' hands, but it could have been a pick six very easily. And Miles had a really good game, and I'll get to Miles at some point, but you hate to see that. And we had two fumbles. Didn't lose either one of them, but the ball was on the ground a couple times. So that's two games in a row with multiple fumbles. We didn't have any takeaways, I don't think. No takeaways, no interceptions, no fumble recoveries or anything like that. So,
shut down defense.
Yeah, so it's again, it's not something super worrisome, but something to keep in your back pocket is like, hey, we should probably go and tighten that up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the ugly. What do you got for – do you have anything?
I do. Okay. I got Will Fries. Two straight plays just was an absolute nobody. Two plays in a row did absolutely touched no one. And it came in the when Trace got that big sack against Trace.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next play when Miles should have lost like 10 yards and then broke it into like, gain of a few.
Right.
Will Fries was just a complete bum. Like, I may as well have been out there. I couldn't have done worse than he did on those two plays. And I think he got pulled after those two plays.
Yeah, there was a little bit of rotation. I do like how you insert yourself as better than most of these players because it's just funny to me.
Well, I couldn't have done worse than that.
No, that's true. I've given you a chance to catch balls in the end zone. I believe in you, Pat.
I'm an athlete.
because he's one who after the first game kind of locked down that right tackle spot. It was him and Chaz Wright. Chaz started and he kind of finished the game. And then Pitt, he was a starter the whole game. So, yeah, we can look up snap counts. But, yeah, that's some growing pains that just can't really deal with right now. Like, we need that line to be solid. I completely agree.
It was just embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, and it's – I don't even know. I'm not going to try to spin it. I was going to try to rationalize it. But it just – it was bad. It was ugly. We need to fix it. Simple as that. All right, for my ugly, I'm going to cop out a little bit because I couldn't find anything that I really loved as an ugly for us. So my ugly is the Kent State DB that got juked out of his shoes on that 95-yard touchdown pass. So it's funny because I was listening to the announcers and they're breaking down how good Daniel George's route was. Daniel George, true freshman wide receiver, and he looks pretty good too. I don't know, Justin Shorter is our kind of blue chip guy who still hasn't really played a whole lot. He was in the game.
Yeah.
I think he took a couple snaps, but didn't actually have any receptions. Daniel George looked pretty good. There's the commentary was breaking down how good of a route it was. He had a decent fake. Wasn't like, best ever, but it was a decent fake pump and go. Sean Clifford with like the half pump fake. Like, I don't think we did anything super, super amazing. I think that DB just looked ugly biting on that fake and giving us the longest play from scrimmage in Penn State football history.
Was that
95
really?
Yards. Yep.
I didn't know that.
We've had two previously that went for 92. That was the longest play from scrimmage in Penn State football history.
Wow.
So that's my ugly. I don't know what your name is, DB, but it was ugly.
Suck.
All right. So we've got just a couple miscellaneous notes. We talked about some of these things. Let's go into some of my milestones since we just touched on that. Do you know how many total yards we had? You're definitely looking at your fucking phone too.
I am, but not for that.
Okay.
And I don't know.
How many total yards? Guess.
Oh, 500.
643.
Gotcha.
Which is the most yards since 1995.
Jeez.
When we had 661 against Rutgers. So that I thought was really, really cool. This is our sixth straight game with 200 yards plus rushing. And they're moving around. So I did my knee-jerk reaction from Universal, and I said Miles not the greatest game. Dude, he still had a really good game. He had 14 carries.
Over 100 all-purpose yards.
Yeah, 14 carries for 86. I think he had three catches for 30. He's averaging 6.1 on the ground, and I'm sitting here going like, not the best.
Yeah.
It was a pretty damn good game.
It just wasn't like
– It wasn't explosive. It wasn't electric. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't electric. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, but it was –
Didn't jump out at you.
But yeah. It was really good in –
But that's who he is.
Yes.
He's not a guy that is – like, he's not like Saquon where you're going to see a lot of – like. It's not going to be every game. There's like a 60-yard run out of him.
Right. And I'm okay with that.
But he's going to average,
6.1.
Anywhere from 4 to 6 yards a carry, probably.
I think if you run the ball for 4 to 6 yards every time, you're going to move the chains. It's going to happen. So very okay with that. And I'm actually glad you said that. So in The Athletic, Audrey Snyder, shout out to her again. We got to get her on this pod. I shout her out every time. she had a section, and she does a really good breakdown of the game. She had a section on Miles and kind of posed the question of, what if he came after anyone other than Saquon? And we've kind of alluded to this, but think about the running backs we've had before Saquon. Bill Belton, Zach Swinack. Like, we never had like a true, even Akeel Lynch, who had flashes. We didn't have like a true great running back. If Miles comes in after any of those guys, he is kind of heralded as the best running back. Yeah. But because it's immediately after Saquon, it's just, you're going to draw those comparisons. So yeah, I'm going to hop off the train of Miles needs to be electric every game and just enjoy for what we're seeing, because it's impressive.
I like the way he plays.
The kid is running well, and it's impressive. A couple other milestones. Through our first three games, we have 159 points. That's the third most through three games in Penn State football history.
What year is Gillihammer?
You want to guess?
No.
Okay, good, because there's a lot of years to pick from. So we have 159. In 2008, we had 166.
If I was going to guess, it was a
great year. That was the year that we, almost got to a national championship, but fortunately, Iowa beat us on the last second field goal. It was my freshman year. I don't want to talk about it. And then before that was 1926 with 165.
Wow.
It's a lot of points, a lot of yards. We talked about that longest play in history. A couple milestones for Trace. So he hit over 1,000 career rushing yards. And he is the second quarterback in Penn State history to do it. Who's the first?
Darrell Clark?
Nope. Who's another rushing quarterback in the last 10 years or so? Might have played running back in the NFL at points.
Michael Robinson. Oh, I love Michael Robinson.
Yeah. And phone going off in the middle of a podcast. How unprofessional.
I don't even know what that was.
Yeah, so he broke 1,000 rushing yards for a career, only our second quarterback to ever do it. And Michael Robinson was the first. So I thought that was pretty cool. And with his three touchdowns, he moved to 24 rushing touchdowns, which is the all-time leader for a Penn State quarterback, passing
Michael Robinson.
Nope, Darrell Clark. See? Fooled you right into it. Oh, I got you. I got you right into that. So he's got 24 total. Darrell Clark had 22.
Dude, there's a lot of games left. I still watch that video of Michael Robinson breaking that kid from Minnesota's collarbone on that truck. Yep. Oh, my God.
He was electric.
I love that play.
And I love Michael Robinson now in, like, his whatever media role he is. He does a lot of, like, the pregame shows. He's fun to watch. But, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So the record for rushing touchdowns on a QB is Darrell Clark with 22. Trace has 24, and there's 9 games left in the season. It's going to obliterate it.
Yeah.
And then the last one, DeAndre Tompkins passes 1,000 receiving yards for his career. So, very cool for him as well. A lot of milestones.
Yeah.
A lot of milestones. All right. Anything else for this game in general? We kind of talked about injuries. Actually, no, let's go to injury report real quick. Mm-hmm. Tommy, we think, is back. Shane Simmons might be back for this game. So he was officially out of the walking boot. He did not dress for Kent State, but he tweeted out the other day. It was like just a smiley face. They do these cryptic tweets all the time.
I know. I hate it.
I don't know what to make of it.
Is he coming back? Did he just get laid? What's going on?
I hope both. But he might be back. One thing that we have completely ignored on this podcast, John Reed has not played in 2 games. Have you noticed that?
I totally didn't until
Same.
You said it.
Same. So he was out on the Pitt game, and they chalked it up to, he had a little bit of a rough first game back, needed to kind of get some of the rust off. They were giving him like a healthy scratch kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Could have played if he needed to. So I don't think it's quite an injury, but then he didn't play at all at this game. If you wanted to get him like back to form, don't you think Kent State would be a good one for him to like get his motions back? So in his weekly
Not
presser,
the injury report, though?
No, and in his weekly presser, they asked him like, "Hey, so what's going on with that? Do you expect to have him back?" Real short answer is, "We expect him to be back this week." So,
all right,
I'll take that for what it is. But yeah,
I love James Franklin.
Yeah, I really do. It's fun how he just dances around these and doesn't give a shit. So it's interesting for 2 reasons. One, I really want him on the field because he's a really good player when he's healthy and when he's at the top of form. 2, he was out for 2 games and we didn't even notice. Kind of says some good things about the other guys in the secondary. So
I like our secondary a lot.
And I agree.
I had a feeling, we talked a little shit about them at the first game.
Yeah,
but I
they've
had
picked
a feeling
it up since
that
then.
It was just sort of rust.
They've picked it up. Coverage has been a lot better. Lamont Wade had one of our sacks. I think he's been playing well in whatever role he's been asked to. So yeah, I agree. I think the secondary has come back in a big way. And I mean the defense in general. This is one I passed over earlier. Only 180 passing yards that they gave up, 41 rushing yards. That's a really, really good game. So overall, great game. Let's move on. Let's do Big Ten awards, and then we'll jump into Illinois. Right. Big Ten Baller of the Week. So the Big Ten was not great this week. Overall, 6-7 against non-conference foes, and there were some really bad losses. I'm sure we'll get to that in the Bozos. But let's find some good. Who's your Big Ten Baller of the Week?
Sean Clifford.
I love it.
We're not going far for it.
I love it.
Sean Clifford has thrown 4 passes in his career, 2 touchdowns, 150 yards, has a quarterback rating of over 600. You can't find a bigger baller than this in the Big Ten.
Quarterback controversy, question mark. No, that's fantastic. I love that. The kids have started, and like I said, the DB did just look ugly on that. But the ball was thrown beautifully. Yeah. Like, you got a man wide open in space. He just lays it up and lets him do the rest.
I love this kid.
He had a couple of runs that were nice. He can move with his legs a bit. I don't want to skip over Tommy Stevens by any means because I want to see Tommy as our quarterback. But I'm very confident with the depth that we have
right
now.
Absolutely.
All right. I have two because I was preparing in case maybe you stole one. So I'm going to say them both. Purdue quarterback David Blau, which is a great name, 39 of 55. For 572 passing yards,
jeez,
3 crazy touchdowns, 1 interception, and they lost to Missouri.
Oh my God.
That's a baller performance to me, though. They're fucking terrible. And that's why I felt like I had to give this kid a shout-out. 572 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and they lost 40-37. He had three different receivers over 100 yards.
In the Big Ten this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had 3 different receivers over 100 yards. That's just a really good performance, win or lose.
Can't say
enough. And then the other one I had prepared was Minnesota wide receiver Tyler Johnson. He had 9 receptions for 133 with 3 touchdowns. Minnesota scored 26 points. He was responsible for almost 21 of them if you add on the kicker, right? So I thought that was really cool.
They did.
And to your point earlier about DeAndre's returns and not having one that kind of inflates the stats, this kid was 9 of 133. His long was 28. So, he was just cruising all game.
Up.
Yeah, so good performances. Big Ten was ugly, but a couple of guys to give a shout-out there. And that leads us into our Big Ten Bozo of the Week. Who's your Bozo? There's so many to choose from.
The color commentator of the Penn State game. This guy was a fucking Momo.
Do we know his name?
I don't remember his name.
All right.
I've never listened to a commentator and just thought so many times, oh my God, you're an idiot. So it started with that onside kick I talked about earlier.
Yep.
Where he literally the first thing he starts going off on Penn State for leaving early. But we touched the ball before the 10 yards. Like as soon almost right after he says that, they break it down and see that we actually touched the ball before 10 yards. And, the Kent State kicker just happened to be right there as we touched it and made a really good play. It really wasn't a bad play by our defense.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it.
They were coming up very quickly on it. And our guy was kind of either caught in between stay back on your heels and try and catch it after 10 or get aggressive and do it. And he made the aggressive mistake. He went for it and got hit as soon as he touched it.
Who was that? Do you know?
I don't know.
I can't remember, honestly.
It really wasn't that.
It might have been Sutherland. Did he have long hair? Might have been Jonathan Sutherland.
Maybe.
What else did this Bozo have?
And then there was another play where Kent State went offside, and he called a false start on us before the play. And then they show the replay, and he goes, man, I don't know if that's an offside. He didn't touch the lineman. Do you know what an offside is? You don't have to touch someone.
Oh, God.
And his reaction was so stupid. I was like, wait, maybe I'm an idiot.
Right.
Maybe I don't know the rules.
Right.
I looked it up. I was like, maybe it's different in college. No, as long as you go across the neutral zone and cause an offensive lineman a reaction, that is still in offsides.
Okay.
You don't have to touch another player. You just have to cross the neutral zone and cause a reaction.
I'm really happy you defined that because as soon as you said it, my mind went shit, is that the right rule or not? So, yeah.
Oh, and then when Freiermuth had the pass interference that called back Jawan's touchdown, when they're showing the replay, he tried to pin it on one of our linemen. Like, oh, is that him right there? No, that guy's pass blocked.
So they pulled this commentator off the street.
Like, oh my God. I was like, listen, is this some kind of kid? He's special. And they're like, hey, it's this kid's dream to be the color commentator for Penn State. Kent State.
Little make a wish.
It's like, ah, well, it's Kent State. Might as well throw him in there.
Well, hey, man, he got his chance. Did not execute on it. That's really funny.
Oh, it's garbage.
Absolute bozo. And like I said, I didn't watch
the game. I've never listened to a football announcer say so many things about football that were incorrect.
Love it.
And I listened to Phil Sims.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are some bad ones out there. Speaking of guys that are saying things that are really bad, I'm going to tangent for a minute. So obviously, you know, NFL, John Gruden, Oakland Raiders head coach, they traded away Khalil Mack, one of the best pass rushers in the league. Mm-hmm. They're at 0-2, and in his press conferences, he's given this answer multiple times now. They ask him, like, hey, you know, what needs to get fixed? He goes, well, it's really hard to find a good pass rusher. It's like, idiot, you just traded away one of the best in the league. And it's like, you can rationalize it as much as you want. He says, you know, he was never going to sign with us. We wanted to get assets. Just don't say that in your press conference.
Yeah, that shouldn't be. Well, you shouldn't. At least shouldn't say it's hard to find.
Right.
A good pass rusher.
Right. Yeah.
Because it wasn't.
No, you had one. So special edition NFL bozo of the week, John Gruden. Okay, so I've got a couple. So like I said, bad week for the Big Ten. So I think it's very easy to point out a couple of teams, and then I'll get to my individual. Wisconsin loses to unranked BYU. Bozos. What sucks too is that they can still win the West, like, pretty easily, I'm sure.
They're the only good team in the West.
Right, which is so annoying. But, man, they lost – I think they were like a 26-point favorite at home. I mean, that's just – that's a bozo
supposedly
look.
Supposedly incredible Camp Randall.
Yeah.
Supposedly more raucous than Beaver Stadium, Camp Randall.
I've been there.
Jump around on that loss.
I've been there once. It was good. Not nearly as cool as Beaver Stadium. Jump around was fun, but it's one thing.
Oh, by the way, on that same note, how about that kid from LSU who transferred from the quarterback.
Oh, transfer from Ohio. Ohio State, right?
Said that Penn State whiteout crowd doesn't stand up to Auburn. Oh, yeah. Is that what the kid who was never on the field at Beaver Stadium thinks? Wow. What a great opinion.
Yeah. Can you give me more opinions of things that you've never done? How is the moon?
Is that what it's like watching a game?
Bozo. We need to get like a graphics expert to just make us like a bozo graphic and we can put it out there for these losers. So Wisconsin, definitely. Northwestern, they lost to Akron. Did you see this stat? Did you hear about this? Did you see this?
No.
Akron. This is Akron's first time beating a Big Ten team since, I want you to guess the year.
It's got to be like the 50s.
1894.
No!
The first time beating a Big Ten team since 1894. So
oh,
Northwestern.
That's so bad.
You're a fucking
bozo
of a team.
Looks really bad this year too.
And like, I feel like they've always been one that I've like branched into the lower tier in my mind, but kind of respected more than a Maryland or a Rutgers.
Fitzgerald's a really good coach.
Yes, I agree. I really like him. Respect.
They've always
him.
Been one of those teams, not a lot of talent because of the type of school they are.
Yep.
And not only because they're so high academically, but because they're also a small school.
Yeah.
And they're not a state school.
They beat us, I think it was Franklin's first or second year. We, like, had a lead and lost it, and I remember I was pissed because they ran some dumbass play calls.
We had a lot of tight games with them over the years.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's just an ugly, ugly loss, bozo. But my individual Big Ten bozo of the week is going to be Nebraska's head coach, Scott Frost.
Yeah.
This man left the national champions, University of Central Florida, undefeated.
Of course.
Right? And now is 0-2 at Nebraska. And, I mean, I'm not going to overreact. It takes time to build up a program. But they lost to Troy, I think it was.
Yes, they did.
He's 0-2. And here's the thing for me. Like, coaches jump ship all the time. And I guess I can't say too much on this because we wouldn't have Franklin if he hadn't left for, you know, greener pastures. But coaches do this all the time where they leave for better things. Dude, the state of Florida is not great right now in football. Florida State looks trash. Florida looks trash. If you're Scott Frost and you're taking UCF, who – went undefeated, beat Auburn in a bowl game. Why not like run with that and turn that team into a legit top 25 contender?
Yeah, I think that was a weak ass move.
You know, I mean, and I don't know the whole story. I don't know the history, whatever. But I don't know. That's just, I mean, dude, right now you look like a bozo because I think UCF is playing decently at least right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey man, you left us. We're gonna show you how good we are. So that's my Big Ten bozo of the week. Any other Big Ten notes for us?
No. Or Maryland, the tough loss that I was upset about. They should have beaten Temple. They're a better team than Temple. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The Big Ten, like you said, it's not looking great so far. I think you've got your top Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan as expected. And then after that, it's a lot of muddy waters. So All right, we got about 10, 15 minutes left on this episode. So let's jump into our Illinois predictions, previews, all that good stuff. We got a Friday night game in Champaign, Illinois. What's your initial thoughts on this team, this game?
I mean, Friday night game, that's so fucking weak that they're doing that to us. It's absolute bullshit.
Do you want to hear a fun fact? I'm loaded with them today. I had time. Like, this is a late episode, but I'm loaded. The last time that Penn State played a regular season Friday game, do you know what happened?
Did we win?
We won the national championship. It was 1982.
Absolutely turned my opinion around on Friday.
Listen, schedule right a bunch here. Of them every week.
One a year.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's an obscure stat that has no weight to it, but kind of funny.
We are going to roll this. I mean, this is a shitty Illinois team. Illinois is always pretty bad, but they're not good this season. They just lost very unimpressively to South Florida, who's not a good team. They're 3-0, but they're not good.
South Florida is 3-0.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
But they're not a good program.
Yep.
Their quarterback, 20 for 29, that's decent. 168 yards on 20 passes. That kind of shows you that he's really not stretching it out.
Yeah.
And zero touchdowns. No interceptions, but zero touchdowns. Just shows you something really unremarkable.
And then I listened to some of Franklin's presser for like the it's like 45 minutes long. They spent some time on that shit. But he did talk about how they have some guys coming back that haven't played. I think a quarterback might be one of them, so that might be their backup. Either way.
I mean, their first game of the season, they won pretty narrowly Kent State, who we just absolutely
butt-fucked. 31-24, I think,
right? And then, again, Western Illinois by 20.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing special there. They're playing nobodies and not looking that great. We're going to absolutely roll this game. And it makes me love it even more because I will never forget what they did after the Sandusky scandal, coming in and coming to State College and hanging out in the parking lot trying to recruit our players. Not like, you know, making a couple of calls, sending some feelers out.
They made a house call.
Hanging out in the parking lot of our football facility, trying to recruit our players.
Just an all-time scumbag move. Yeah,
I'm so excited for us to absolutely push their shit in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I looked at that Kent State game too. They won 31-24. We just dominated Kent State 63-10. I think there's some sort of like transitive property math that says we should just dominate them. The one thing I'll say is they're averaging 243 rushing yards per game this season. We have, I won't say struggled with the run because our average is 148 that we're giving up, but that's really driven by some outliers. Yeah, but it's also driven by some outliers, right? Kent State, we just shut them down for 41 total. Pitt had like 250 on us. So yeah. It's, you know, you take your wins with your losses. I'm not overly concerned about the running game. I think our defensive line is getting better. I think our linebackers still need to improve, and Franklin has said that as well. I'm not super, super worried. If we hold them, and this is going to sound terrible, but if we hold them to under 200 rushing yards, 180 rushing yards, I'm happy with it because I even if they have a lot of rushing yards, I don't think it's going to correlate to points. So
I won't be happy with that. I want to see a statement by our defense. I want to hold them to under 120 rushing yards.
This is why we work together. This is why we're good.
I think our pass defense has been pretty impressive.
Yeah, so make them run and
against
then shut
them
up.
Against a team that isn't, you know, Kent State.
Yeah, and I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. It's literally midnight right now. We are quite literally burning the midnight oil. I'm not happy with 200 rushing yards. Why did I say that? I would like to shut them down. A couple quotes from Franklin is, Illinois has not turned over the ball all year, so I'd like to see some takeaways.
We're going
to
change that.
Interceptions, fumbles, something. And apparently they have one takeaway and like something like 17 straight. So I want to win the turnover battle like by a lot. I want to be sacking this dude into the ground, picking up fumbles, and I want us to not turn it over at all. I mentioned earlier ball security. Gotta be good there. So let's take a look. The line for this game is Penn State currently per Bovada -28.5. And the over-under is 60. So before you give me your prediction, because we didn't do a preview for Kent State because wasn't really anything to preview. I want to give myself a little pat on the back. Just gonna take this time to give credit to me. On our No Names All Game Instagram, put out a post of, hey, you know, give us your predictions. No one ever does. So if you're listening, give us your predictions when I put those out. We want to hear it. The one prediction that came in was from my personal account, and I said PSU 59, Kent 13. Damn close.
Very nice.
I was off by 4 points on our score, 3 points on theirs. So I did lose my best bet of the week, but just putting that out
there.
Okay.
You're up on the week.
Yeah, it was a positive week. Things are good. Illinois averaging 28 points this season. Penn State averaging 53. What's your game prediction for me?
I never like a spread that's more than like 14. But if I had to bet on this, honestly, I would take Penn State. I think we roll here. We've been putting up big points, and we put up big second halves is the other thing.
Yeah.
Like this is a game where unless we really shit the bed, we're going to go in with a lead at halftime. And then, you know, we come out and we really just put it to bed. And I think with Tommy Stevens coming back, I think Franklin's going to want to show him, you know, get it even, you know, if we have a big lead at some point, he's going to want him to play.
Yep.
So he'll be throwing some passes probably, not just kind of running the clock out.
Yeah.
I think we cover this spread.
You got a score for me?
Ugh.
Putting you on the spot.
Do math.
You gotta do math. All right, I'm gonna do mine.
I say we go 45-10.
Okay. I like that. That's not far off from what I have. So yeah, I agree with you. If I'm betting this tonight, which I'll probably wait till Friday, see what that does. How do you not take it at this point? Like we crushed Pitt 51-6, 63-10, Kent. I was scared last week that we weren't gonna cover 26 and we won by 53 points.
Yeah.
I mean, I think,
and I'm telling you,
I think this is one of those.
Good.
Yeah, it's. I think this is one of those where it's conference play. It's expected to be a little bit closer. It's on the road. It's a Friday night. I could see the logic in maybe this won't be as big of a blowout, but I don't know. I think you have to take it at that point. What I'm much more excited is the over/under. I take the over of 60 very easily. My prediction is 55-20 Penn State. We're averaging 53 points. 60
alone.
Is high. Yeah, but we're averaging 53 by ourselves.
That's true. Yeah.
And then the first game was a struggle, and we put out 45. We've gone 45, 51, 63.
That's a good point. Yeah, take it.
If we're in a position again where late game, we're getting a bunch of young guys in, our defense has been great where we haven't given up those late touchdowns, eventually they're going to happen. I think over 60 is easy. So my prediction right now is 55.
I think the hardest part about over 60 is that our defense might not let up enough points.
Right. If we win 55-0, then you lose.
Yeah.
And I've had that before.
45-10.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll keep an eye on it.
I wouldn't bet that line, but if I had to bet it, I'd take the over.
Yeah. We'll keep our eye on it because there are going to be some suckers that jump in on it, and it might move a little bit before this Friday night game. And with it being a Friday night game, that's a national game where, you know, it's the only game of the night, so a lot of people will probably be betting on this game. Whereas if it was a noon game on Saturday, not a lot of non-Penn State fans are getting in on that action. So we will keep you guys posted.
The other thing is, I think Franklin does a good job always having these guys pumped up and ready for every game.
Yep.
From his, you know, tweeting out every Sunday at midnight, you know, Illinois, Illinois, Illinois.
So good.
I think he's a great motivator. Say what you will about the guy as an X's and O's coach. I mean, I think he's better than some people give him credit for. He's obviously not the best X's and O's coach in the country.
He knows what he's talking about.
But he's a motivator, man.
Yeah.
He gets his players ready.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because you watch some of the press conferences.
Play for him.
Yeah.
Like, there's – I think you really see there's so much passion on this Penn State team.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it all flows from him.
You know what I love? I don't know if you've seen this, but the past couple – at least the past two, probably not after App State because that was a damn close one. But after Pitt and at Pitt, he's like jumping up into the crowd to give high fives to the student section.
It.
He did it again after Kent State. And it's like, it's funny because he looks so awkward to him.
He
like,
doesn't have the up that Billy
no,
O'Dea had.
No, but he's like, he's so excited. He's like, yeah, let's go. Like really, really getting into it. And that's the thing.
I
it's like,
love him.
I do too. And it's, we always say, oh, maybe he's not the best X's and O's. I just don't think he shows that side. Like when he does get into the technical breakdowns, knows exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's a better X's and O's coach than people give
right.
credit for.
But his bread and butter is being the face of a program and motivating these kids and loving them and treating them, you know, the way that they need to be to get into game shape. So I agree. I think it's going to be a really good game. I'm kind of excited for Friday night. Like, go out to a bar on Friday night and watch a Penn State game. That's going to be fun.
I'll be flying home.
Oh, very nice.
I'll be landing in time for the game.
There you go. Good stuff. Yeah, that's about it on these games. We'll end with one last segment that I almost forgot about is PSU in the NFL. So we'll do this every week. We'll give a quick recap of how our guys did in the NFL. I caught some games on Sunday. I watched a little bit of Red Zone. You watch any NFL football this weekend?
I work on Sunday, so unfortunately I didn't get to it.
All right.
I play fantasy, so I check up on the stats.
Yeah, and it's funny, too. As I was going through this, I was very much marking down the offensive guys, like in the fantasy mindset, because it's like, oh, stats are exciting. Yeah. Like, yeah, Adrian Amos had four tackles, but I don't know.
Dave Amos is quietly one of the best defensive backs.
I agree. He's doing great. And there's a couple of guys in there that had some decent defensive performances. But to call out some of the flashy ones, Saquon, in a very ugly Giants loss, led the Giants in both rushing and receiving. He had 14 catches. That's how poor their offensive was, that they threw the
and
ball.
And he had
to
a really bad rushing game, by the way.
Yeah, he had like 28 yards.
Yeah, about 11 carries.
But that offensive line is just so bad that they're just dumping it out to him.
They're garbage, dude.
Dude, 14 catches for 80 yards. It's a leading receiver on a team that you have Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Engram.
16 targets. Yeah.
Incredible. I almost feel bad
that
for him.
Offensive line.
I really hope they build that up and he has the potential to show what he can do.
I think it's going
to
be a tough first year for him just because that offensive line is so bad.
Yep, agreed.
And they're going to be behind in games, so he's not going to be running the ball that much.
Exactly.
He
Chris
will be
Godwin,
good in that passing game, though.
Yes, 100%, which is, hey, if you're playing in the PPR league, you should have scooped him. I had someone in my league try to trade me Giovanni Bernard for Saquon Barkley, and I laughed. He's like my boss's boss's boss at work, so I almost thought about it, but got too much integrity for that.
Yeah.
Chris Godwin with another very solid line.
He's moving up in the starting spot. In my
fantasy
team.
5 catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown. So 2 straight weeks with a touchdown.
He's
going to
be a star in the NFL. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and Fitzmagic obviously trusts him. Fitzmagic with that swag after the game. Did you see that? Incredible.
It's like Conor McGregor's older brother.
Yep. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Jameis is coming back. This dude's rolling deep. Put Jameis in there. Godwin's killing it. I think he's found his role on that team where, like, Mike Evans is clear number one. Sean Jackson is your speedster. Godwin's going to be that just consistent guy for them right now.
And I said, DeSean Jackson is not an every down receiver.
Right.
I think in, game out, Godwin's going to be getting more targets and more receptions than DeSean Jackson.
I agree. Yeah, very fun to see him. Jesse James, tight end for the Steelers, had 5 for 138 and a touchdown, his first 100-yard game of his career. Allen Robinson had a career high in catches.
He's always been a favorite red zone target of Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Justin James is one that, like, he's never been a top tight end, but he's going to get the job done.
Yeah.
You know? So really nice to see him. Allen Robinson, career high, 10 catches for 83 yards. Career high in catches, not yards. Robbie Gould, 3 for 3 field goals, long of 45. I think he was the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Nice.
I don't know if it was a winning field goal, but they did win by 3 points.
Like
60, 65 years, I think. and then This one jumped out to me. Donovan Smith, who is the starting left tackle for that Tampa Bay Bucs team that we talked about, started his 50th straight game at left tackle since being drafted. Dude has not missed a game. That's incredible. But yeah, that's about it. Anything else for the fans while I look up that one stat that I was supposed to look up and didn't before? Ooh, sorry, PSU in the NFL. Sam Ficken got signed by the Rams.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, because they need a kicker. So
nice. He was on their practice squad for a little while.
Yep.
Sam Ficken up too. He's doing it here.
Yeah.
Now we're neighbors.
I saw him at the parlor one time. It was him and him and Garrett Sickles. It was for the Blue and White game. They were there hanging out with their very attractive girlfriends.
Sam Peck definitely
talks. Oh yeah. Yeah, he's a good looking dude. I think he was like in finance. I remember he was going to like the stud. Yeah. He gets
pretty
his
good looking guys.
He gets his.
He's like 6'3" at least.
All right, what was your one thing? And then we'll wrap up.
I don't really have anything.
I thought you said you had one thing.
Did I?
I don't know. I'm just stalling because I'm looking up for this.
I think you're just saying that. You're just putting the pressure on me here.
All right. McSorley is the first Penn State quarterback to have at least 3 rushing touchdowns in a game at least twice in his career since at least 1967. There's a lot of at leasts in that.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to digest that
Interesting.
One.
Interesting.
I really thought I thought it. I thought I saw it on here.
What I told?
I thought I thought up Trace McSorley. I don't know.
Either way.
Yeah. Rushing and receiving. He's had a bunch of them. I'll look it up. We'll get it for you next time. That's all we got. Week 3 is in the books. We are 3-0 heading into Champaign, Illinois. Got to feel good at this point. Got to feel good, which means hopefully we're going to Ohio State 4-0.
This is a no doubt 4-0.
Hey, put it in the books. Pat Colicchio's lock of the week. Going into an Ohio State team that might be missing Nick Bosa. Just putting it out there. He will not play this weekend. He's got a lower abdominal strain, so
interesting.
Never wish harm on a man, but
I never don't want to play a team at full strength.
No, not but
if
but,
I ever didn't,
right.
This would be one of those.
Their defensive line is so good that they're still going to be really, really good. If you can take Nick Bosa off the field, I don't hate it. I'm not wishing for it. If it happens, I don't hate it.
I'm not wishing for
it. All right, so we will wrap up there. Another great week. Take a listen. Tell your friends. Instagram, Twitter. We're not on Facebook, so don't look for us there. No names, all game, we are.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.